So we've been in a series entitled All In, and just talking about and looking at and just trying to get an understanding of what it means to be all in with Jesus. And so this morning I wanted to begin by asking if any of you have ever heard of a guy by the name of Naaman. He's someone from the Old Testament. Naaman, this particular Naaman was a commander in an army in Aram, and he had leprosy. And this guy was this big commander. He had leprosy. And he was looking for some help, and he heard about this prophet by the name of Elisha. And he was told, hey, go check out Elijah. Go down to Israel. Check out this prophet by the name of Elijah. He may be able to help you. So he gathers himself and I'm sure his chariot and all of his regalia. And he goes down. And he goes down to Elijah. And Elijah comes to the door. And, he sends his servant to the door. But eventually Elijah comes to the door and he speaks to Naaman. And he says, hey, if you want to be healed, go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. Now this commander looks at this scrawny little prophet and says, you got to be kidding me. I'm not jumping into that dirty, nasty, stinking water. I'm just not going to do it. Listen, send me to a beautiful, there are so many other beautiful rivers. Send me to one of them and I'll dip inside of that. And so somebody had to come up to him and say, hey, listen, man, you want to get this healing, man. Just do what he asked you to do. And reluctantly, he does it. He dips 7 times, and guess what happens? He gets healed. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Abram, whose name got changed to Abraham? Yeah, God has a conversation with Abram and says, hey, I know that you and your wife Sarai, you're barren and haven't been able to have children, but guess what? You're going to have children. Not only are you going to have children, but your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky, like the sand. I mean, they're just going to be multiplied. You're not going to be able to count all these descendants. And so Abram is kind of like, hey, God, are you sure you got the right? I mean, because my wife and I, we're way up in age. We're even past now the age of childbearing, and not to mention that we're barren. But Abraham, and God gives Abram some instructions and says, hey, I want you to leave. I want you to go to this place. Just go. I'll show you as you go. And Abraham obeys. And long story short, over some time, Sarah gets pregnant. They have a baby. The baby that they've been waiting for all their life. And then God shows up again, and you know what he says? He says, hey, Abraham, guess what I want you to do? I want you to sacrifice the very son that I gave you. Hold up. That's for all my worldly saints. No, for all my club saints. No. He says, I want you to take the son that I promised you, and I want you to take him up on this mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him. You know what Abraham does? He gathers his son, he gathers the wood, takes him up to this mountain, lays him on the altar, and guess what he's about to do? Sacrifice him. And just before he sacrifices him, God says, the Lord says, oh, hold up, stop. Don't do it. He says, now I know that you fear me. Well, how do you know now? Because you were willing to obey even what you didn't understand. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Noah? Because today I want to talk to you about the type of obedience that God calls us to have if we're going to be all in. Look at Genesis chapter number 6. Starting at verse number 9. Genesis 6 and 9 says this. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked faithfully with God. And Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let me just stop or pause here for a moment. We're introduced, we're talking here about this guy of the name of Noah. And Noah is described with these three words. It says that Noah was righteous. In other words, Noah lived to please God. He lived in obedience to God. Not only was Noah a righteous man, but it says that he was blameless. This speaks to his character. He was a man of integrity. Noah had a good name in his neighborhood and amongst his peers and with his friends. He was a man of character. And then it says that Noah walked faithfully with God. Doesn't just say he... Thank you, Joel. Doesn't just say he walked with God. It says he walked faithfully with God. In other words, he lived in step with God. He lived a life of faith. You see, all of this is really important that you understand how Noah is being described, because these next few verses are really, really become alive and jump off the page. At least they did for me after hearing how Noah is described. Look at verse number 11. It says, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways." Hear this. Noah is described as righteous, blameless. He walked faithfully with God. And then the next verse says that everybody else was corrupt, full of violence. Everyone around Noah was corrupt and evil. None of them were walking with God. All of Noah's neighbors, his cousins and them, his friends, his co-workers, if he was a student, everybody on the campus, nobody else was walking faithfully with God, living righteously. Not only were they corrupt, but it says that they were full of violence. It's like the modern day, because we're living in the days of Noah. They would have supported abortion, killing our babies. They would have had no problem killing family members and friends and then lighting a house on fire. They saw nothing wrong. They would have seen nothing wrong with raping and objectifying women. They would have taken pleasure in exploiting the immigrant and the weak. They worshipped other gods. This was the environment that Noah and his family were living in. And yet, with all of that going on, it says that he was righteous, blameless, and walked faithfully with God. It is possible to live for God even when everyone around you isn't. I want to talk to a student today. I know you feel like you're the only one that goes to church. You're the only one that lives for the Lord Jesus. And everybody else is living contrary to the will and the purpose of God. And I want you to know that God will give you the power and the strength to live for Him. They said they're interpreting the message in Spanish, and I need to slow down. Lord, help me. I want you to know, just because no one else in your family chooses to follow Jesus, it doesn't mean that you can't live righteously. Maybe He wants to start something new through you. Just because everybody on your job on Friday is going to happy hour and getting drunk, or just because everyone on your job is sleeping around, or just because people say it's okay to dibble and dabble in pornography, doesn't mean that you have to do it too. It says that everybody around Noah was corrupt and evil and love violence. But he refused to be part of the crowd. He refused to be part of the group. He was willing to live for God, even in the midst of that. And I want to encourage you, and I want to tell you, and I want to admonish you, and I want to build you up today that you don't have to go with the flow. You can be different. Look at verse number 13. I love this. So God said to Noah, let's stop right there. I love this. Because Noah walked so closely with God, guess what he could do? He could hear his voice. God spoke to Noah. God let Noah know what was going on before it was going to happen. You see, a lot of us, we want to walk with God, but we want to walk at a distance. We want to walk close enough so that we can get the blessings, but we want to walk far enough so that maybe he doesn't know us, that I'm still doing my own thing on the side. We want to walk close enough that because we want his protection and his provisions, but we don't want to be too close because we're still dibbling and dabbling in some things. The Bible says that Noah walked so closely with God that he heard God speak. When was the last time that you heard God speak? Are you walking in step with him? Are you walking and clinging to him that you hear his voice? When was the last time you got quiet enough? Turned off your phone long enough? Shut the laptop down so that you could hear? When was the last time you turned off the television because you said, you know what, I need to hear from God. There's too much going on around me that I need to be in. I need to know what's the word of the Lord? I need to hear his voice. 13, so God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. Listen to this. God gives specific instructions. He tells them down to the inch exactly what he wants him. I want you to hear this. God gives him instructions, explicit instructions, detailed instructions. This is how you are to build it in verse number 15. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. And a cubit is about a foot and a half. So 300 cubits is 450 feet long, 50 cubits is 75 feet wide, and 30 cubits is about 45 feet high. 16, make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. Let me stop right here. And some of us read this and we say, my God, why would God do that? I mean, why would he wipe out everything? What's the penalty for sin? Death. The question is, why did he wait so? It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. And guess what? It wasn't that Noah was so good that he was spared. It was because God was so good to him. God favored him. God chose him that his life was spared. Look at verse number 18. But I will establish my covenant with you. Oh, man. He's a covenant-making God. And you will enter the ark. When you're in covenant with God, you enter the ark of safety. When you're not in covenant with God, you're outside of the ark. I want to call somebody today to come into the ark of safety. If you're not in covenant, if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you haven't accepted his body and his blood that was broken and shed for you, you're outside of the covenant and you're outside of the ark of safety. And it's only through Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. What verse am I at? 19. Let's start at 18. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Let me read that again. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Let me read this one more time because this is for the men. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives. Let me read that one more time because I don't think the men caught that. 18. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Men, read that with me. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. 19. We'll get back to this. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. God is amazing. 21. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Now understand this. God tells Noah, I'm going to destroy everything and I'm going to destroy it with a flood. Back up a little bit. Noah never saw rain. At this time, the earth was watered by just water coming up. I don't know, some dew, mist. I don't know how it worked, underground sprinkler system. But there was no rain. There was no rain. He had never seen rain. He lived far from, he hadn't even seen the ocean, probably. He lived far from the ocean. So when God says to him, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it with a flood. It's going to rain, Noah. The Bible never says that Noah was a shipbuilder. Never said, hey, Noah was a skillful shipsman, architect, engineer. Never said that. So I know if God told me to build an ark, I'm scratching my head. Because I've never had a need for an ark. I've never seen rain. Why would I need to do this? What is this about? And look at verse number 22. Noah did some of the things. Half of the things. Most of the things. It says Noah did everything just as God commanded. He didn't try to alter it. He didn't try to help God. God, I know what you said, but you know what? I'm going to hook you up with this part right here. You know what? I think I've come up with something a little bit better when it comes to this part right here. Or you know what? I'm good with this part, but I don't know, God. I think you missed it with this part. Here's what I want to do. How do I live an obedient life like Noah? A life of obedience that says that I'm all in? Write these things down. The first thing is, you got to hear from God. You can't obey what you're not hearing. You must hear from God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Go to church. Don't just go to church, but join a church. You need a pastor. You need elders. You need church members, brothers and sisters in Christ. Go to church, because when you come to church, some of you right now are hearing God speak to you because of the preaching that's going on right now. God is speaking to you. And he uses the foolish things, because it really is. I mean, I'm no spectacular, I'm just an ordinary guy, but God can take ordinary things and do extraordinary things through them. And it's the foolishness. He will use the foolish things to confound the wise. And through the preaching, God speaks. He's speaking right now. And when you don't come to church, you miss what God wants to say in that moment and in that time. It's not to say that this is the only time that God speaks, but he established the body of Christ, the local church, where things like this would happen, where you won't be able to get this from Oprah. I'm sorry. You won't be able to get this from CNN or Fox News. You'll only get it here, in this type of environment, in this place, in the local church. And so you think it's okay for you not to come to church, and God is saying, I sent my son to die to establish the church, and you're telling me you don't need to come every week. You're telling me you're tired. I'm tired. You know why I'm tired? Because I made everything else more important. And I knew that Sunday was coming. It shows up every 7 days around the same time of the week. He doesn't mix it around. It's the same time every week. And it's just incredible to me how we will prioritize other things. Some of you are watching online and you should be right here. Right? And we'll make everything else more. Well, boo-boo got a soccer game, and or we got a party we got to go to, or I just don't feel like getting up today. I'm tired. How many of you are tired? Just by a show of hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Trevor could have stayed home today, and we would have had no problem with it, right? But he's in the... What's your excuse? Well, you guys are here, so. But I'm going to be looking for you next week, too. And the week after that. And the week after that. Right? Go to church. Go to growth groups. These are the environments that God has instructed us to set up so that we can hear God. Read your Bible. People of God, I want to encourage you to read your Bible. It is God's letter to you. You need a word from the Lord? Pick up your Bible. And God will speak. Before you read it, here's your prayer. Holy Spirit, speak to me. And I'm going to guarantee you this. It doesn't even take reading from Genesis to Revelation. Sometimes it's one verse. Just one verse. Sometimes it's one word. When God speaks, it changes everything. So you must hear from God. So go to church. Go to growth groups. Read your Bible. Pray. Pray. Spend time in prayer. You're saying, well, Pastor, I don't quite know how to pray. Do you know how to have a conversation? You know how to pray. Prayer is simply a conversation with God. And so, just like any good conversation, make room. You can talk, and then make room for him to talk. And sometimes, can I be honest with, now this is just my own experience. There are some times when I pray, and then I get real quiet, and I don't hear anything real specific. But I know I'm in his presence. And that's enough. Yeah, sometimes when I'm hanging out with my wife and I just want her to be with me, she doesn't have to say a word. But the mere fact that she's in my presence gives me strength. It encourages me. It builds me up. And so the mere fact that I know, God, I'm down here praying, and I don't hear anything revelatory at this time, but just knowing that you are with me, it's enough to get me through this day. And then another way that we hear from God is when we walk with God throughout the day. My mind is stayed on Him. With all the things that are going on, and we've been walking and journeying with Brother Trevor, and my heart is with Brother Ryan and Gifted and my mother and all these things going on, you better keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Hallelujah. I was having a conversation with one of the elders, and I was explaining to her what was going on, and she said, I don't understand how you could be so calm with what's going on. I said, well, on the inside is something else going on. But I'm trying to keep my mind on Him. I'm trying to keep my faith that, you know what? Despite what I'm seeing, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm walking with God. And He's been speaking to me. He's been encouraging me. He's been building me up. He's helping me to get out of bed in the morning and say, God is up to something good. I don't see it right now, but I know He's up to. Because His word says that He is good, and He's always been good. And He will be good. And so He deserves praise from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. He deserves my praise. Somebody ought to just shout and give Him a praise. Hallelujah. So how do I live this type of obedience? I got to hear from God. The second thing I've got to do is I must do all He says. I said I've got to do all that He says. Write this down somewhere. Partial obedience is disobedience. Y'all didn't even let me finish. I thought, you're going to rob my little, trying to finish my little phrase here. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Listen, you can't pick and choose the scriptures you're going to obey. Right? Oh, He's going to make me the head and not the tail. He's going to meet all of my needs. Is fornication really a sin? Because the way I see it, the Lord opens doors that no man can close and closes doors that no man can open. But this Friday, I'm going to get drunk. No, I'm going to turn it all the way up. No, it's going to be lit. No. So you can't pick and choose the blessings of God and then not obey the commands of God. We have to do all. I said we have to do all. Here's the other thing. You can't pick and choose when you're going to obey or where you're going to obey. See, it's easy for us to obey here. But when you get with your boys, when you get with your friends, you need to obey them too. You need to be willing to say, no, you know what? I'm walking with Jesus. I can't just do it on Sunday. I got to do it on Friday night too, on Saturday night too. I got to do it when the saints are around and when the saints aren't around. I got to do it when the lights are on and when it's dark. Must do all He says. We have to live righteously all the time. Does it mean that we're perfect? No. It simply means that my heart is for Him. My heart is toward Him. I'm doing everything I can to live for Him. Why? Because I'm hearing from Him. I'm spending time reading my word, hearing the word. I'm coming to church. I want to put myself in a position and in the proximity of what God is saying and what God is doing so that He is the influencer of, He's the number one influencer of my life. so I can hear him. I can do all he says. And then this third one, you're going to have to separate yourself. There are going to come times and seasons where you're going to have to separate yourself. What I mean by that is a couple of things. One is you should appear different. Right? When I say separate yourself, I mean separate yourself in the sense that people look at you and they say, you're just a little off. You're a little different. You're not exactly like you look like us, but there's something different about you. You sound similar to us, but you talk just a little. There's something different about, and you ought to be peculiar with people amongst people who don't know Jesus. You got to say, and then there are seasons where you have to physically separate yourself from certain people, places, and things. Yeah, if you're going to walk in obedience to God, it's going to call for seasons and times where you have to separate yourself. You always have to be different from the world. And then there are times where you have to really just say, you know what? You know, I just can't hang with y'all this weekend. Or you know what? I got to stop going to these places. God is not here. No, he's everywhere, but he ain't. No. I just need to stop going to these places. Why? Because I want to walk in step with God. I want to be able to hear God. There's so much evil and so much corruption going on all around me that I want to be close to him. So when he says run, I want to hear him say it. When he says go the other way, I want to be able to hear him say it. When he says you need to pray, when he says you need to fast, when he says you need to reconcile, when he says you need to forgive, I want to be able to hear him. When he says be kind to that person, I know you don't know them, but I want you to do something kind for them anyway. I was so blessed. My mother has been in the hospital now. And, you know, I'm an hour away from where she is. And so I've been going back and forth, and spending as much time there as I can. And some days I'm there, you know, morning till night, just there all day. And people are coming by to see my mother that I've never met before. And it's blowing my mind because some of them, a lot of them coming through are young and hip. My mom is neither of those. And I'm like, why do you know my mother? How do you know my mother? And they're telling us about how much they love. They're telling me, oh man, we love. I showed up the other day and there were flowers everywhere, balloons everywhere. And I'm like, where is this stuff coming from? Where is it? Where's it coming from? And I'm saying that to say that, you know, sometimes, you know, because of our obedience, that God is setting other things in motion for you because you were obedient with him here. He's making provisions for you over here. And it was funny because most of them that were coming through some of them didn't speak much English. And so I'm trying to talk, you know, and my, you know, I'm just going to leave it right there. My Spanish is not, you know, what it should be. But we were talking. I said, just talk to me in Spanish, and I'm going to talk back to you in English, all right? And we're just going to work it out. But I was so overwhelmed by that God, when we walk in obedience, he takes care of us. I'm saying he takes care of us. Let me close. When you live an obedient life, here are the two things that you can count on. Jesus says you will be blessed. Luke 11 and 28 says this. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. He says blessed. Rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Listen, you're looking for happiness, but you're looking in all the wrong places. Happiness is spelled O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. I did that with no spell check, so I hope I didn't miss a word or a letter or anything. But happiness is spelled obedience. That's where the blessings come. It's in our obedience. And then if you're going to be all in, if you're going to be all in, It says, I'm getting ahead of you. Forgive me. When you live an obedient life, you'll be blessed, and then you bless others. You become a blessing to others. Hebrews 11 and 7. This is for everybody, but I want you men to hear this. Hebrews 11 and 7 says this. It's on the screen. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in what kind of fear? Holy fear, built an ark to save his family. You missed it. All right. By faith, Noah, because he was righteous, because he walked with God, because everybody else was living one way, and he decided that he was still going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ under all of the pressure, under all the scrutiny, under all of the criticism. And I'm sure when he was building a boat and nobody had ever seen rain, I can't imagine the ridicule that was coming towards him. And yet he continued to preach, and he used words when necessary. But his life said, I'm trusting in the Lord. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, Not yet seen. Because I walk by faith and not by sight. In holy fear. See, some of us, we don't fear God anymore. We don't have that reverence for God anymore. So we can do any which way because it's just God. You know, we refer to him as the man upstairs. Oh, he's just the man upstairs. You know, like Mr. Gadsden, who lived up on the second floor? He's the man upstairs. No. He's God. He's holy. He's perfect. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He is God. And there is none else like him. It says, in holy field, built an ark to save his family. Men of God. Men of God, your obedience could save your family. So think about what the opposite could do. Says his obedience. Didn't say save Noah. Saved his Noah. You go in the ark. Send your sons in the ark. Send your sons' wives in the ark. Saved his family. We were having this conversation the other day. You know what's destroying the family? Sin. Disobedience. You know what's destroying the family? Men being out of place. It's destroying the family. Then you want to run to the pastor and say, could you pray? Could you pray? Have you been praying? Jesus. Have you been living for the Lord? Have you been walking with him? Don't call me. Call Jesus. Amen. Now, you could call me. I mean, I don't mean it like that. Like, I don't mean it like that. But the answer is, we got to call on Jesus. You can't open the back door and bring all kinds of spirits in and then just want the pastor to pour oil on that junk. It doesn't work that way. If you close the back door and rebuke the devourer, if you turn that stuff off, if you put that stuff down, step away from those people and those places and those things, And the stuff that you think that nobody else is seeing, God sees it all. And he doesn't see it all like he's the police. He's saying, come out of the darkness. I've got light for you and your family. Oh, I'm just dibbling and dabbling in this. It's affecting your children too. And your children's children. And some of this stuff you said, where did this come from? Well, grandpapa was a Rolling Stone. Papa was a Rolling Stone. And now Jimmy a Rolling Stone. Where you at, Jimmy? No. Now Jimmy, right? And what we're saying is, men, rebuke the devil. You can't keep saying, you know what? Ask your mama about that verse. You can't keep saying, let mama pray. You can't keep saying, well, I didn't grow up in the church. You're here now. Get your Bible. Spend some time in prayer. Get away from that foolishness. And walk with, obey everything. Well, Pastor, I'm not perfect. I didn't ask you to be perfect. I just asked you to live righteously. I asked you to walk with God. I asked you to come to church, read your Bible, pray, seek the Lord. Not just for you, but for your... Some of you here, well, I don't have any children. Set them up now. I said, set them up now. Do you know I'm already praying for my children's spouses? But more importantly, I'm saying I need you to be the right kind of spouse. I got to train my sons and my daughter. No. You got to be the right kind, because then you'll attract. I won't have to knock him across the head. I mean, pray for him and lay hands swiftly. I'm done. If you're going to be all in, it requires an obedience that obeys everything. Everything. Even when you don't understand. Understanding is not a prerequisite for obedience. Obedience, even if nobody else around you is obeying. You've got to stand up and say, you know what? I'm living for Jesus. I know I normally stay out late on Saturday night. But now, you know what? I'm changing my ways because Sunday's coming and I need to be in the house of the Lord because God speaks to me there. And I want to be where God is speaking. I want to be close. I want to be right there in the midst of it. What's God telling you to do? Do you hear God speaking to you? What is God... And it may not be you have to stop drinking. Maybe that's not your thing. Maybe there's somebody on your job he wants you to extend a hand to. Maybe he, when you walk into your closet and you can't find anything because there's too many things. Maybe he's saying, go down to the rescue mission. There's some people down there that have nothing. You looking at all them shoes and you can't figure out which one to put on. Meanwhile, there's some folk walking around barefoot. What is God saying to you? Maybe he's telling you to separate yourself from certain people, certain places, certain things. What's he saying to you? I know he's speaking. The question is, can you hear? Can you hear? And maybe he's been saying it for a long time now. Maybe there's something you've been struggling with for years. God is speaking. He's still speaking. Don't let your heart get so hardened that you can't hear his voice anymore. I said, don't let your heart get you to the place where you keep ignoring and resisting and not obeying, to the place where you become so callous. Your heart becomes so callous that now you don't even hear. Now you're calling wrong. Right. and right wrong. Would you stand with me? I gotta quit. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I want you to just take a moment. Take a moment to get quiet right where you are. Take a moment to get quiet right where you are.